Well, good evening. It's good to be back with you again. It was remiss of me this morning. I didn't thank you for your prayers. So thank you for how you've been praying for myself and for the other students at the college. It means we need your prayers. So please keep on praying for us. We are here then to worship God. Hear the word of God from Isaiah. And chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. We sing from God's own word, Psalm 111. Psalm 111. We sang the first half of this morning, and we'll finish off the rest of it this evening. The tune is Petersham, number 186. Psalm 111. We're singing from stanzas 6 to the end. We sang this. It's a psalm of praise to God. Verse 6, it speaks of the giving of the heritage of the nations. That's the giving of the land of Canaan to the Israelites is what it is speaking of there. And we praise the Lord for our heavenly inheritance. And verse 9 speaks of God's work of redemption. And we likewise praise God for his work of redemption in Christ. So Psalm 111, stanzas 6 to 9, and we remain standing after for prayer. Lord, our God, we come before you again this evening, to you, the one true God. We come to you in worship. We praise you as the one and only God. There are no other gods. We thank you, merciful Father, that you have so enabled us to come here to gather together in worship. We thank you, Lord, for the health and the strength that you've given us to be here. Where else would we rather be but in the house of the Lord and worshiping you and praising your holy name? We ask that you would help us to praise you, to worship you from our hearts. Help us to put aside all distractions as we come to read your word. We pray that in your word, we would see Christ. We pray that we would see him and that you would work your work in our hearts, that you would make us more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that crown of righteousness that is laid up for us. We thank you for treasures in heaven that will never fade away, that will never perish. And although the things of this world will pass away, your word will never pass away. Your word remains sure and true. And you have kept us. We thank you that you have kept us as your treasured possession, the apple of your eye. It is a wonderful thought that you would make the sinful creation, these sinful creatures such as us, your treasured possession. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. We pray that you would forgive us for our sins, forgive us for our slothfulness in worship. Help us to worship with all our hearts. We pray again for those who would long to be in your house, but for whatever reason cannot be here, and ask that you would graciously draw close to them. Draw near to us now, we pray. Forgive us for our stammering words in prayer. We thank you that our voices are as sweet as the dove in the cleft of the rock. For we are in Christ the rock. We thank you for him. We come to you in his name. We pray that you would bless us now. Watch over us and keep us. Teach us truth in the inward parts. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our New Testament reading this evening is from the Gospel according to Matthew. So Matthew and chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we will read the first 16 verses. So Matthew chapter 5 and from verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen. So reads the word of God. We sing again then, Psalm number 91. Psalm 91, the first four stanzas. It's 91a. 91a. The man who in the sheltered place of the Most High dwells by his grace will with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. We sing of the Lord's refuge that he has provided for us, the safety and the security that we find in him. He is our shelter. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. And after the psalm, we remain standing for prayer. The tune is Woodworth number 39. Psalm 91, stanzas 1 to 4, we stand to sing. Our loving Father, we do seek that refuge in you. We pray as the mother hen would gather her chicks under her wings, Father, that you would gather us under the safety of your wings. We look to you, our God, for our protection, for our shelter, for our refuge. We pray that we would know this, that we would experience this, that as we cry out to you to comfort and protect us, that we would see this truth in our daily lives, that we would know your protection. We come with thankful hearts, Lord. We thank you, we praise you for all your good gifts. We thank you for keeping us through today. We lack nothing. We have cupboards full of food, and we've been able to come and meet freely in your house and worship you without fear. We thank you for these things. We pray that you'd give us a spirit of thankfulness, of gratefulness, that even in the hard times, in the painful times, in the times of suffering, that then, even then, we'd be enabled to come back to you with thankful hearts. Lord, we thank you for the call that has gone out this morning to Kenneth Stevenson, and we would bring him before you now and pray that you would be with him as he has received these calls. We pray that you would help him as he goes to his knees in prayer, seeking your help and seeking your guidance. We pray that you would make your way plain before his face, that you would lead him and guide him, that you would guide him and take him to where you would have him, to your glory, to your honor, to your praise, for the building up of your church. We pray that you would use him mightily wherever he should go, that he would be an instrument in your hand for good, that he would preach your word with boldness and in truth, and that through his preaching, and we pray the same for all the ministers of your word, that your word would go out in truth, and that it would accomplish all that you have sent it out to do. We pray again for the situation here and with the months. We pray, Father, that in your mercy you would provide that place for the church here. We thank you for the resources that you've given the people here, and that they're able and in a position to purchase a manse. We thank you for that. We pray that you would prepare the way for them and do provide for all of our needs. We thank you for the work in the Theological College. We thank you for all the lecturers there, both here in this country and the colleges elsewhere. We pray that they would faithfully hold up your word and preach and teach your word to the students. We thank you for the prayers of your saints and how they pray for the students. We thank you, O Lord, for your people. We pray that you would keep the students, keep them well, keep us well in our bodies and our minds, and keep us faithful. We pray that you would make us more holy, that we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would guard our hearts. Be pleased now, we pray, to meet with us this evening as we open your word. Show us those wondrous things out of it, we pray. And give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word. Be merciful towards us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please turn then in your Old Testaments to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs and chapter 18. Proverbs 18. And we'll read the whole chapter this evening. So the book of Proverbs and chapter 18. This is the word of God. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen. So reads the word of God. Someone has said of the book of Proverbs, "Doubtless, if the world were governed by the whole wisdom of this single book, it would be a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." The book of Proverbs is a treasure chest of God's wisdom. And of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is the incarnation of God's wisdom. And so here in Proverbs, we find Christ. Chapter 2 of Proverbs speaks of inclining our ears to wisdom and applying our hearts to understanding. It says, "If we cry after knowledge and understanding and seek her as treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." If you knew that there was a £10 note down the back of your settee, I'd imagine, I know it would be true in my case, you would go to great pains in trying to find it. You would search diligently, you would take the settee apart, especially if you're from Ballymena, like myself, you would take the seat apart until you found that £10 note. And I sometimes wonder how much searching we do, and I apply this to myself, how much searching I do, how much searching do we do for the spiritual things, for the spiritual treasures? How much searching do we do in the Word of God, laying up for ourselves these treasures in heaven? We have before us here in this portion of Scripture that the Word of Christ, it's a revelation of the grace of God in Christ to us and an outworking of a life of wisdom by the power of the Holy Spirit. And with the Lord's help then, we come to verses 10 and 11 of this chapter. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. It speaks here of a strong tower and a strong city. It's a tale of two cities, and we have this right throughout Scripture, don't we? We have God's way and man's way, the way of righteousness and the way of the wicked, and right from Genesis 3 and 15, which we read this morning, that enmity that's been put there between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Proverbs speaks here of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God and the foolishness of man. And so I want to meditate on these two verses this evening, and that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Firstly, we'll think on that city of refuge, and then a city of ruin, or a place of refuge and a place of ruin. Firstly, then, that place of refuge in verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What is this strong tower? Well, this strong tower, it says it is the name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah. It is his revelation of himself to man. And we find his name in this way throughout Scripture. In the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Psalm 8, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 20, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The name of the Lord, that is the Lord God and his revelation of himself to us in his works and in his word. And his revelation of himself here to us is as a strong tower. He shows forth his strength and his power. He shows his perfection, his protection, and that all unchangeably so. And it's helpful to think on how the Lord, he is unchangeable. And I know as a congregation, you've had a lot of changes, and you've had a minister go, and you're calling a new minister, and you're looking for a manse, and there's lots of changes. But we know that the Lord, he is unchangeable. And so we look to him. We put our confidence in him. And now God has been manifest to us in the flesh. He's been manifest to us. He's been revealed to us in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that second person of the Trinity. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, speaking of Christ. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, God with us, to whom has been given the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So the name of the Lord has been revealed to us in Christ. And we can know then that this strong tower, our strong tower, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and it is the righteous who run into it. I've got three words, and they all begin with the letter R. We have the righteous run, and the righteous run for refuge. So three words beginning with R, the righteous run for refuge, and refuge, of course, being a place of safety. So who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? Romans 3, Paul reminds us that there are none righteous. There are none righteous, not one. So how can any be righteous? Wasn't it Noah that was described as that righteous man? Job as an upright man, a righteous man? How can Paul say there are no righteous, and yet men be described as righteous? Well, of course, it can only be with faith, only by faith in that perfectly righteous man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was described by Stephen in Acts 7 as the just one, the righteous one. So those who are in Christ, those who are in Christ may be described as righteous. Those who, under the Old Testament, put their faith in the promised Messiah to come, and those in the New who have put their faith in the Christ who has come now For by grace are you saved through faith, both in the old and in the new. If we were to describe someone as righteous, and it's not something that we tend to do, is it? You might call someone a brother or a sister in Christ. We wouldn't tend to use the word righteous. But if we were to describe someone as righteous, it is in a twofold sense. It's a righteousness imputed to us by the merit of Christ. In Christ we are justified. In Christ we are declared righteous. His righteousness imputed to us, credited to our accounts. And secondly, it is an imparted righteousness, a righteousness imparted to us by the Spirit of Christ. He who works within us. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do. He bends the will and he causes us to work according to his good pleasure. A righteousness worked in us, and an outworking of that righteousness by his Spirit. It's all of God, lest any man should boast. Notice here then what it is that the righteous do. What do the righteous do? Having been made righteous by Christ, the righteous man runs to Christ, for there is safety to be found there. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And what is that safety? Well, for one, it is to have the name of Christ, to have the name of the Lord as a banner over you. And when the evil one looks on, when the enemies of Satan and of self and of sin look on, they see there the name of the victorious King of Kings over you. He is King over you. You're under his banner. You're under his protection. He has put his name on you. It's a wonderful thing to have the name of Christ over you. You bear his royal colors. Psalm 9, verse 10, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. To whom else shall we go? A strong tower is clearly seen. It is obvious. It can be clearly seen from a distance. You know, we're no strangers to towers and castles. In my previous job, I was an aircraft engineer, and on occasion I would travel down to Newton Ards Airfield. And I'm sure as many of you know, on your way out to Newton Ards, you see that very unmistakable sight up on the hill. You have there Scrabble Tower. As soon as you see it, you know what it is. It's up in the height there. It's visible. You know exactly what it is. I've also been led to believe that during the Second World War, that the German bombers would have come up the coast of Ireland, and they would have looked out for that stone tower. It was a navigational aid to them. They'd look for the stone tower. They'd navigate by it. And from there, they knew it was a three-minute run then. I think it was into Belfast, where they would then drop their bombs. But the point is this, without getting lost in the illustration, the point is a strong tower, a high tower, it's clearly seen. It's visible. It's there. It's clearly seen. And indeed, Christ, our strong tower, our high tower, is clearly seen. If you're Christ's, if you belong to Christ, then people around you will see it. They will know that you belong in that strong tower. We read from Matthew 5, didn't we? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The question is this: are you hiding your light, or are you hidden in Christ, that strong tower that stands on a height and can be clearly seen? You just can't have one foot in the kingdom of darkness and one foot in the kingdom of light. For a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Choose ye this day then whom ye shall serve. Pray for boldness. Take a stand. Go to Christ, your strong tower, and find safety, find salvation there in Christ. Look again then at verse 10. How is it that the righteous go there? The righteous, they run. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. It means they go swiftly. They run there swiftly. If you were in some place of physical danger, you wouldn't linger there long, would you? I remember walking with my wife through a particular town, a particular part of a particular town that shall remain nameless. And we just got that feel of it not being a safe place to be. You just get a feel of a place, don't you? And it didn't feel safe. It wasn't a place for a leisurely stroll or a romantic stroll. But what did we do? We picked up the pace and we got ourselves back home. We got back to where we had that perception, at least, of safety. Likewise, when we are afflicted with sin, when we are bombarded with temptations, when the evil one is shooting his fiery darts at us, when we become so consumed with ourselves, our own preferences, our own narcissistic tendencies, flee to Christ. Flee to him. Go to him. Run to him swiftly. And likewise, when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Keep yourself within the strong tower. You are his, and he is yours. He has put his name on you. There's safety in Christ. Do not stray outside of that strong tower, but hide yourself in him. Christ calls us to come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Charles Bridges says, I quote, consciousness of danger induces even the animal creation to seek for a refuge. So an animal, when it senses danger, it will flee for safety. He says, to man a strong tower offers such a covert, but man is a sinner. Does he realize his imminent peril, his threatened ruin? Oh, let him believe his welcome into the strong tower set before him. Do not trust then in yourselves. Do not trust in any perceived strength that you think you may have. For we are weak, but he is strong. Jude 1:24, him as Christ, him that is able, he is able to keep you. To keep you from what? To keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. The word safe here in our text at the end of verse 10, the righteous run to it and are safe. The word safe, it means to be inaccessibly high or to be exalted, to be raised up, to be set up on a height. What does the psalmist say? Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. We know of whom the psalmist speaks. So God, set me up on high, Psalm 69. If there's floodwaters, we go to higher ground where there is safety. He is infinitely higher, infinitely stronger than us. We have our strength in him. So we flee to him. He who was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Where then, where do we find this high tower? Where is this high tower? Where is this strong tower? Well, the righteous have the Spirit of Christ in them. We find him in his word and we seek him in prayer. When temptation comes, we flee to him, meditate on his word. meditate on his word and come to him in prayer, seek his face in prayer. There is no point crying all day long over your sins and over your failures. I tried reading God's word, it didn't help. I prayed, it didn't help. So what? So we just gave up. We need to keep coming back. Keep coming back to his word. Keep seeking him in prayer. Keep running back to him, seeking him, for he is merciful. He is a merciful God, isn't he? He's merciful. He is gracious. He is tender. A bruised reed he will not break. A place of refuge is the name of the Lord. The righteous run there for safety. And secondly, we come to a place of ruin. And before we consider verse 11, first think on how does that strong tower appear to the unrighteous man? What does that strong tower look like to the unrighteous man, to the man who is, and I'm using the word man grammatically for men and women. I'm sure you understand that, for men and women, for boys and girls. How does that strong tower appear to those outside of Christ? Psalm 18, with an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Or is it the ESV translated with it? With the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. To the unrighteous man, not in Christ. The man not saved by faith in Christ. The man that does not have the name of the Lord over him. To him, it is not a strong tower of refuge, but it stands as a tower of wrath and of anger towards him. Dear sinner, outside of Christ, if you're outside of Christ, to you, that tower is a tower of God's wrath. The strong tower is a defense to the righteous, but it is an offense to the unrighteous. The man outside of Christ flees away from it. It's a terrible sight. It's a reminder there of God's justice, that he will judge, that he comes again to judge. There is no safety then when he returns. There is no safety now. It's a lost eternity. But, dear sinner, if you're not in Christ, that strong tower can be your refuge too. It can be your refuge. If you know that burden of sin, the heavy weight of a troubled conscience, there is no sin too great. And I know we address that the children and the young people, but the older people as well, address you, no matter how far down the road of life you are, you can know this strong tower as your refuge if you turn to him. No matter how far down the life of sin you are, you can turn to him in repentance and faith, and that strong tower can be your refuge. You can find there a place of safety. What did the Philippian jailer say? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And that reply, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him in faith and repentance. Turn to him and you too can know freedom from the burden of sin and dwell securely in that strong tower. And that brings us then to the words in verse 11. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. So we've seen a strong tower in verse 10. And now here we see a strong city in verse 11. The book of Proverbs does that, doesn't it? It contrasts the wisdom of God with the folly, the foolishness of men. Wisdom and folly, like two beacons going off. Wisdom and folly, wisdom and folly. God's wisdom, man's foolishness. The way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. And here, In verse 11, it speaks of a rich man. Now, excuse me, he is not wicked because he is rich, but rather he is wicked, he is foolish because he has made his wealth his own security. That much misquoted verse, not money is the root of all evil, but the love of money, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil. Remember how Christ addressed the rich young ruler when he came, the rich young man, he came and he asked, what did he ask Christ? He asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Christ said, go, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor. Christ there getting right to the very heart of the matter. His words as that sharp, two-edged sword, getting right to the heart. The rich young man, oh, I've kept your law. I know your commandments. All these I've kept from my youth. But Jesus, looking on the heart, it's as if he says, where really is your heart? What really is your heart set on? He said, go sell what you have. And we know how he went away. He went away sad. He went away grieved. Mark 10:23, Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus, answering again, saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Here in Proverbs, this rich man's trust is in his riches. His wealth is his strong city. As a high wall around about him, the authorized version says, in his conceit, that is in his excessive pride in himself, his riches are as a wall round about him, or as in his imagination, in his own esteem, his wealth is like a high wall round about him. In what place then are you trusting? Are you trusting in a strong tower that is the name of the Lord? Or are you trusting in a strong city, and that all of your own building and all of your own imaginations, your own strong city? What is in your own strong city? Within a city, we find a whole collection of man's idols, don't we? We've our wealth and houses and family and friends. We've shops, cupboards full of food, a healthy bank account, all the doctors and nurses and hospitals, medicines for the body. Are you really going to make the NHS your refuge, your safety? How often have you heard, well, as long as I have my health? Well, what happens when, in that difficult providence, when your health is taken away? Entertainment, fun for a season, somewhere to go when it rains, somewhere to go when it's dry. Are all these things your safety? Are all these things your security? Man's heart imagines these things to be his safety, but they will all pass away. As one minister very helpfully said to me, and it stuck with me for many years, look around you. Everything you see will one day be incinerated. All this will pass away, but the Lord's word will remain. Isaiah 55, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. What of that strong tower or that strong city of Babel? Remember the strong city of Babel, Genesis 11. People said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. What did he say? Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Let us make a name for ourselves. And we all know how that ended, don't we? This is what happens whenever we try to find our own identity and make a name for ourselves. It ends in nothing but confusion, complete confusion. We see it today. People running around looking for an identity, and it all ends in confusion. A strong tower and a strong city. Verse 10, a strong tower that is all of the Lord. His name is there. Christ is there. The righteous are there. And verse 11, a strong city, all of man's doing. A place of the imaginations of man's heart. Selfishness dwells there. Sin dwells there. Satan dwells there. A city destined for destruction. Where then are you to be found? With a healthy bank account, with an empty bank account, with a good measure of health, in sickness, in grief, in pain, when faith is lacking, when faith is strong, run to the strong tower. In all the circumstances of life, whatever you face tomorrow when you go to your workplace, or whatever you have planned for tomorrow, keep coming back to the safety that is in the name of the Lord. Build your life on Him and not on the things of this world. Christ, and I've finished with this, Christ tells us of that house built on the sand, and that house built on the rock. He who built his house on the rock is he that heard God. He heard the word of God and obeyed. That house stood firm. And he who built his house on the sand is that man who heard God's word but did not obey. That house fell flat. And great was its fall. Go to the strong tower. Examine your heart. Ask God to show you your heart. And see really where is your heart fixed. And flee to Him who is that rock, that high tower, that refuge in times of trouble. Go to Christ in all circumstances and conditions of life. And you will find safety there. Amen. Closing psalm then is Psalm 9. Psalm 9, and it'll be stanzas 3 to 5. Psalm 9, verse 5 there, you chide at the nations, the wicked destroyed, their names you erased, and forever made void. The foe is in ruins, completely disgraced, their cities uprooted, their memory erased. And then in stanza 5 there, verse 9 of the psalm, the Lord is a stronghold, a refuge, a tower for all the oppressed in their dark, troubled hour. Those knowing your name, Lord, trust you for your grace. You have not forsaken those seeking your face. We sing Psalm 9, stanzas 3 to 5. The tune is 292, Joanna. Standing to sing.
You chided the nations, the wicked destroyed, their names you erased.
Lord, our God, we would come to you and find our refuge in you. We thank you that you have not forsaken us. We thank you that we can find our joy in you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We pray that you would bless us in this new week and that you would help us to keep running back to Christ. Help us to keep coming back to him, whatever this week may hold for us. We pray that we'd continually look to you, praising you, worshiping you, giving thanks to your great name. Keep us safe, protect us as we drive home again, especially as these dark nights come in. Keep us safe and well. Preserve our souls, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.